Hello and a very warm welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marcos Chipper. You can't beat this grand, doing it, Marcos. With me as usual this week is Martin Smith. Martin, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Yourself?
I'm not too bad. Right, this week we'll be looking at the very brief game against Forfar and see how the rearranged fixtures is going to affect the upcoming fixtures for Peterhead. As well as that, we'll be previewing the trip to East Fife. So Martin, how are we? Settled in? Got the wind passed? Or still howling a hoolie outside?
It was only a little breeze, wasn't it?
It was just a light breeze, I think they call that. Hardier kind of people up here, I think. We're made of hardier stuff up here.
Yeah, we're used to it.
We're so used to it. So Saturday was a bit of a non-event, it turned out. The waste of a day, Jim called it. Plenty could have been done to prevent it, I think. But as usual, we seem to be banging our heads against a brick wall with the SFA or the SPFL is in this occasion.
Yeah, Peter Reid contacted them on, was it Friday morning or Thursday night even?
Thursday afternoon,
to tell them that the winds and the weather was due to get worse and that they should take the necessary precautions for it. But that request was pretty much thrown out, as we're led to believe. So disappointing when Peter Reid puts hand in place to try and prevent a game starting that wasn't going to get a finish, trying to they waste folks' time, players' time coming up and everything, but it's just been squashed by the SFA, unfortunately.
And as well as obviously the players, for fans, you've got to feel sorry for them. It's okay, it's not just the most long journey they'll ever have this season, but it's still a day out that's been wasted for them. And now they have to come back, presumably. Some of them will come back, not all of them will come back on the Tuesday night for the rearranged one. So it was just a bit of a waste. Jim even told the players not to travel up on the Friday just because he thought the game was going to be postponed.
Yeah, I mean, it's really the most frustrating part is that Peter Reid's contacted them and advised them obviously that the weather was due to get worse. We came for it's like at Balmer at the best of time. It was slightly more windier than normal, but nothing unusual.
I've seen it worse.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen it a lot worse. So for the game to start, you know, Jim had mentioned it to the referee and his team that about 2:30 in the warm-up, he felt the wind was stronger than what it would normally be. He's told the referee that, and the referee said pretty much, no, it's fine, we can start the game. I don't think the wind was any worse at 3:30 than it was at 2:45. Yeah. So for the game to start and not, you know, and only get half an hour in, I think that's poor on the referee's part. They could have come up even earlier on the Saturday or done the precautions on the Friday night like Peterhead and Jim had asked them to do. It was ignored. And in the end, we started the game, we've got half an hour out of it, and then everybody's day is wasted, including the Forfar team, player, staff, everybody's come up to support them, and they've had a wasted journey as well.
The annoying thing about it is, he started the game, he thought it was okay, and then all of a sudden, halfway through, half an hour at the first half, he decided, actually, I'm going to abandon the game. As you said, it didn't seem to be any different as it was when he was at kickoff.
I don't personally got any worse throughout the game. It started. There was a breeze. We want to deny that, but nothing that we hadn't seen at Balmer before. We've seen swirling wind and rain, you know, in the game's gone ahead. It's conditions that we're used to up here. So, but the frustrating part is the referee started it and they finished.
If it would have been raining, you might have definitely would have said, "Well, no, this isn't going to go ahead." But I remember a game earlier on this season when it was absolutely didn't do. I think it was a Wraith game.
Yeah,
we absolutely soaked first half and then. It was the fine second half, so that could have been what happened again on Saturday. But I also remember a game from last season. I think it was a windy day, surprisingly enough, at Balmer. But somebody had tried to play a long ball in the first half. A Peter Reid player tried to play a long ball in the first half, and the wind catched it and ended up over the stand. But the other side, I can't remember who it was, but it was quite comical to see it. But as I was saying, we haven't seen. I don't think the conditions on Saturday were particularly that bad. It was just that the players, for some reason, didn't cope enough with it, particularly the Forfar players.
But the fact that Jim has You know, they've contacted the SPFL. They've told the referee on the Friday, the Saturday morning, during the warm-up as well. That was the time there and then to say, right, we're either going to start it and we're going to complete it, or we're not going to start it at all.
Yeah.
And in the end, it became a farce by starting it and only playing half an hour.
I think if you start it, you have to finish it.
Yes.
There's no point in just saying, because you're almost admitting that you're wrong. The referee's admitting that he's wrong. He's got it wrong. He should have just said, he should have had the foresight, or he should have had the balls, shall we say, just to say, like, we're not going to start the game. Everybody would have been disappointed because they've turned up. But we're still disappointed, even more so now, because we started the game thinking that we're going to get a game, and then, no, we're going
to
stop.
Yeah, because it all came about that Greg Fleming was trying to take a goal kick, and the ball's rolled a couple of times. I think it was on the third occasion that he's trying to plant the ball to take the goal kick. And we've seen the referee come across from the far side over to the dugouts, and you knew straight away when he was running across.
Oh, we knew what he was doing.
We knew that he was going to speak to the managers and probably call the game off. And everybody around about us was sort of in the same agreement that, you know, why'd you start the game and they complete it? Or some folk were also saying it's not even that windy, which is hard to argue. There was a breeze, but nothing that we hadn't seen before.
Alan Cook said after the game as well that he's playing worse. He reminded us of an occasion where he was playing at Arbroath and got hit by a wave at Gayfield. So if he's going to get hit by a wave, try to take a corner there, and they completed that game, you would just have to... Again, it comes down to... it's subjective. Another referee probably would have carried on.
Yeah.
Another referee probably wouldn't even have started the game. So it comes down to those differences in characteristics of the referee.
I mean, it's not often that we hear Jim being quite forceful in his interviews before or after the game, but he was certainly critical of the referee on this occasion, but as well as the SPFL, you know, as an organisation itself. They've highlighted to them that there could be a potential issue, and it's just been ignored, basically.
Yeah, and it's not the first time that we've sat here and we've spoken about the SPFL on occasions doing things that they shouldn't be, or not doing things they shouldn't
exactly.
be.
So
I'm sure it won't be the last either. Interesting thing to hear from the Hamilton manager, Brian Rice, in his press conference saying that perhaps the league or the referee should have some kind of wind gauge to decide whether or not a game starts. Is that a good idea, or is that just maybe clutching at straws slightly?
I like the idea in principle, but trying to implement it could be the challenging point. I mean, at what point do you say you could start a game thinking, okay, if it's below 40 mile an hour wind speeds, we can start it, but if it's 40.5, do you then decide, well, we're not going to start it? It's one of them. It can be windy at 2 o'clock, but come 2:45, after you've called the game off because of your windometer or whatever, then the wind's died.
There's nothing there.
That one would need to be a fair bit of work.
It's a bit like the thing they've got in cricket where they have the light meter. As obviously the day progresses, it will get darker. So in that kind of sense, it will only get darker as such, because obviously that's how days work. Whereas the wind can be very different. It can be very windy at some points, and then it can die away, then it can come back again. So the guys in the cricket, for example, you often see, usually a team who's losing will say to an umpire, it's getting a bit dark here, you might want to get a light out and have a check. So you might end up with the same kind of principle with the football as well, whereas a team's maybe, this is getting a bit windy, or they're maybe losing a game or something, say, like, oh, let's get the wind on out and see.
Yeah.
So that, with that again, and we see VAR and all the rest, these kind of things coming into the game, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but I think on this occasion, yes, he's got an idea in principle, but I don't think that idea as such is the way to go.
And if we're asking Scottish referees to implement it, that's even more challenging in itself.
That's farcical for a start. But as you said, a game could start really, really windy and it could die off second half, or it could be the reverse.
And we've seen that happen a lot of times at Balmoor anyway, where it's quite windy to start with, but then within 20 minutes it can be quite a calm day.
Yeah, especially the sort of wintry kind of games where once the sun kind of disappears a little bit, the wind does die down as well, because quite often you've gone in at half time for a cup of tea or whatever, and then come out in the second half, and it seems to be a different kind of day altogether, kind of thing. So even that 10-15 minute spell, it does make a difference. So the actual game itself, what we did see, you would think with Forfar playing with the wind, they would have had the advantage. But again, maybe because Peter had played with the wind more often, and are used to the wind, they probably were the better team, I thought.
Yeah, I thought Wax did pretty well against the wind, to be honest, in the first half hour. It's one of them, if I felt we've gotten it 0-0 at half time, using the breeze to our advantage, I think we'd have gone on to win the game. It's just disappointing we didn't get the chance to do it.
Yeah, I don't think Fleming even had a save to make as such.
No.
There were occasions that they got into Peterhead's half, but they really didn't show much of a threat as such. So from their kind of standpoint, they were probably disappointed, but probably more pleased the fact that the game was abandoned, because I think they would have really struggled second half.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we probably would have, I think we probably could have run out comfortable winners second half with that one. But obviously with the game being postponed, abandoned, whatever you want to call it, the game's now been rescheduled for February the 25th, which is a Tuesday night. So, which does leave us with an interesting week that week. We've now got Airdrie at home, followed by Forfar on the 25th, and then Shinrar away on the 29th. So that's an interesting, really interesting week itself. Obviously playing the two teams below us. But Airdrie again, obviously they're higher up in the league, they're sitting third at the moment. But it's at a game, you would think, even at home, we'd win that as well.
Yeah, because we did pretty well against them last time. I know we got beat, but there was points in that game, especially in the first half with a 20-minute spell that we did really well. Mm-hmm. We're unlucky to score. The season for me, when you look at the fixtures that we've got that week, could be the week that sort of determines how our season's going to finish.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a weird thing to say, in your fixtures in February, but when you look at we're running towards the end, that fixtures are horrible. So that two, especially the Forfar at home and Shinrar away, that is crucial, crucial games.
I know we've still to play them both twice again, but the more points that we can get now, and the bigger the gap that we can get now, the more psychological it will be. Because obviously if we can open up a bigger gap as it is now, obviously the Forfar gap is only 3 points at the minute. There's a 10-point gap now between us and Shinrar. So if we can open up that gap a little bit more now, it just makes it a little bit easier, because the games will start running out.
Yeah.
Forfar and Shinrar will start thinking we're struggling a little bit here. And also as well, it just keeps Clyde in amongst it as well. Even Dumbarton above us as well. Obviously there's a 4-point gap between us and Dumbarton. But, you know,
if you win your games, you can sort of drag Dumbarton in. They wouldn't like that either.
Yeah, the more people you can sort of drag in to this so-called relegation battle, the better. And with the way that obviously the league is, the fixtures are, we play each team four times. So there's still plenty of time to be taking points off of these teams around about us as well.
It's the psychological effect, for argument's sake, do we not get maximum points against Forfar and Stranraer? You go into the games like sort of Falkirk and Raith after it, it's that psychological effect of maybe beating the teams below you, and then you're playing the best two teams on paper in the league. It's a very important week. The game on Saturday would have been important to win, but now that it's been rearranged for the Tuesday just before Shinrar game, it makes it a massive five days.
And the point is as well, if you do start losing against those teams, not only are they're going to get closer to you, at some point as well, you might actually end up slipping into that ninth position, the playoff position, which is where you don't want to be at all, really. And then the month after that, the games we've got after into March, you've got Falkirk, Raith, Clyde and Montrose again. So that's three that are the top half of the league. And those are the teams that we're really struggling against. Forfar, Clyde and Montrose, as I said last week, are the teams that we concede really early goals against.
Yeah.
Those are the teams that we're struggling against to win. We did beat Wraith at home previously, but as I said earlier on, the weather that day probably helped us considerably.
Yeah,
and they really struggled. Come March, you'd expect it to be slightly better weather-wise, but you just didn't care. But again, it's a month that is you're expecting to get little out of it, whereas this month, February, we're expecting to get much more, and we need to get much more.
If you can get the points in February on the board, you can maybe relax a little bit more going into March. And you never know, you might pick up a win away to Falkirk or away to Clyde or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's why the games in February are so important.
They're crucial.
Yeah.
But before all that, then, on Saturday, we have a trip to East Fife. East Fife is a team that really started off the season particularly well. I think they've probably sort of levelled out a little bit. They're at a point now where they're sitting fourth. They're going backwards more than anything else. They might just hang on to that playoff place. But as I say, Montrose and Dumbarton are there or thereabouts there as well. So, but it's one of those teams that very, very inconsistent.
Yeah, they've got very patchy form, haven't they? They don't really seem to go on runs anymore. It's like a draw here, a win there. It's quite patchy. So it's certainly a game I feel that we can go and try and impose ourselves on the game and try and get something from.
Well, since the last time we played them, they've had three defeats, one win and one draw in their five league games. So it's not form that's looking good for them. But I think because of where we're at and where they are currently at as well, I think it's a game that, you know, you look to get at least a point out of, and it's probably achievable. I think we were quite unlucky doing there last time.
Yeah, they've conceded 31 goals this season, where we've conceded 37. There's only 6 goals a difference when you look at the points that they've got compared to what we've got. And there's 11 points in it, so it just shows you the difference of having somebody that can score goals and keeping it tight at the back.
But a lot of their form, or a lot of their points, has come from early on in the season. You know, as I said, they've probably just levelled out slightly. You know, Montrose are sitting in fifth. They're a really, really bad start to the season, as we all remember. But they've kind of picked up the points, and again, they've probably levelled off slightly as well. We just haven't hit that run yet. Run at all?
Hopefully we can hit that run in February. Because everybody seems to have that little run from time to time, and hopefully we can do it in this next 3-4 weeks, including the game on Saturday.
Doubtful we're going to get it in March, but you never know. So hopefully, we're going to have a nice Valentine's weekend win against East Fife, which I would like to think we could get, but as I said, I think we would be happy with a draw.
Yeah.
And then get those next three games. Two of them, which are at home, and away to Sunderland, which is obviously a game again which we probably think we could win.
Absolutely.
So the next four games were going to be crucial beforehand, before obviously the 4-4 game was abandoned, but even more so now, that we get as much points as we can this month.
You'd be looking for a minimum of 9, really, wouldn't you?
Minimum 9, I would think, yeah.
That allows for obviously one defeat in there where it could. I would say a minimum of 9, really, to go into the, especially the March fixtures that we've just spoken about. It's crucial that we try and get 9 points minimum. Yeah.
And with the game being abandoned as well, it does mean that everybody's more or less now in the same games played. Whereas if the game had gone through, completed, we would have had 2 games more than, say, Clyde and everybody else thrown about us. So we would have still had a game in hand. So, again, just means that we're still not pulling away from them because we didn't get the points on the board, but it doesn't mean anybody else can catch us as such. So, hopefully, we're going to carry on and get ourselves a win. Against East Fife on Saturday, I think, we'll go with a win or a draw, minimum.
I would take a point now, certainly coming away from there. A point would be a good result.
I think so. So I think that's it. Very brief one this week. We can blame the weather for that.
And the referee.
Or Storm Kira. Kira, I think it's called. Anyway, strange name. We'll call it a day there. That's it for another Blue Toon podcast. Thanks to Martin, as usual. Our thanks go to sponsor Marcos Chipper. And to you guys for listening, as always. Thanks very much, and we'll see you again. Cheers.